Morning. How are you? Well, good. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14. Oh, you know what? I forgot to mention, there was a group of ladies, I don't know the name of the women's soccer club, over 40, soccer club that did a truckload of these boxes, and they're here with us today. Can y'all raise your hand? Some of you are back there. Thank you for letting us partner with you. We turned this this whole living room into a Santa's workshop, and they did like 300 boxes. So that's super cool. And so we'd be glad to do that with you again next year. And I'm just so excited to see all of these boxes and filled with toys and just imagining the kids that get to open that. I wish I could be there for it. Okay, 2020. Wow. It's a heck of a year. I mean, where do you start? China virus, Wuhan fresh, shelter in place, economic collapse, essential workers, non-essential workers, murder hornets, don't forget the murder hornets, giant meteor, unrest in the streets, election fraud. I mean, do we need to keep going? Tom got engaged. Okay, great. We're very happy about that. And don't say we didn't warn you. Church doors were locked. And now in some states, they're talking about legislating against one of our nation's greatest traditions, which is Thanksgiving. 2020. So, I'd like to share with you three stories this morning. Two of them are uniquely American stories. One's from John chapter 14. Where you're turning to in the Bible. They're all related, and they're all relevant to us today. The first story is of two men many years ago that were both had a desire to study God's Word. And God brought them together, and they were talking about studying God's Word together, and so they began to meet weekly in one of the men's home for Bible study. And soon others heard about it, and others began to join them, and then it move from a Bible study to worship and a sermon, and eventually they are having weekly church services. Now, here was the problem. The problem was that those services were illegal. They weren't a part of the state, official state church of the day. They were God-fearing, law-abiding citizens, but they had differing interpretations of the scriptures from the official church. Neither one of them had been trained in the official seminary of the country, and so their Bible studies, their church services were illegal. The group were called separatists because they were distancing themselves from the country's official church because they believed that the official church's teachings contradicted the scriptures. But word began to get out that there were some people in the country that were truly worshiping God in accordance to the scriptures. And so there was whisper among the people and word that the word was being preached in integrity. And people began to travel for miles to join this underground church. And, of course, the officials found out and they gave the ultimatum. Either these separatists come back to the church, the official church, or they would be in trouble. And, of course, the underground church believed that Jesus is the head of the church, not the state, and that the Holy Spirit is the one who directs the church, not the government, and that the Word of God is the foundation of the church, and they have to obey it rather than man. And so they began moving from house to house, hiding. Every time they were discovered, they were arrested, but it continued to grow. And it's the story of Jesus' church. And you might think, well, I'm describing what's happening right now in China. And I could be, because that's exactly what's happening right now in China. Or you might think I'm talking about Pakistan or Indonesia or Turkey or Vietnam. And I could be. You might think I'm describing the Soviet Union 30 years ago, but I'm not. The story I just described, it took place in Scrooby, England in 1607. The leader, those two guys that met, their names were John Robinson and William Brewster, and they were called separatists to begin with. We know them better as pilgrims. So they left England, they went to Holland, eventually they came to our fair land. These pilgrims are our forefathers, and you might not read this in history books anymore, but the foundation of our nation is literally the Word of God and religious freedom. And every one of the laws written in our founding, and every one of the freedoms that they protect, they don't give us the freedoms, they protect those freedoms. Every one of those comes from God's Word. Did you know that over half of the 56 signers of the Declaration were pastors and seminarians? That's our heritage. Fast forward a couple years, 399 years ago, in fact, in the Plymouth Colony in Massachusetts, the settlers that had come there to worship in freedom had a very, an incredibly difficult first year. The winter in Massachusetts was dreadful. The cold and disease killed half of the colony. Half of the colony died. They were in great despair. They were wondering whether they should go home, they should pack it up, and what should happen. And so that following summer, they had a good crop, but as the air began to become crisp and the leaves began to change, they began to remember that winter was coming. And they were fearing for their lives. They were remembering what happened the year before, and they were in total dread and despondency. And so it was suggested that they come together in an assembly and discuss what to do. And in light of the terror of the previous winter and half of them dying the year before, and they decided that the Plymouth Colony should proclaim a fast, which makes sense to me, crying out to God for mercy. Plymouth Colony was going to seek God's face, going to ask for mercy, that he would protect them in this coming winter. And everyone in the entire assembly agreed except one man. According to the story, an old farmer stood up and cautioned that the people might, as he said, quote, provoke heaven with their complaints. And instead, in the midst of all of the assembly, he began to review all that God had done for them. He had given them safe passage over dangerous oceans. He had given them a favorable place to build a settlement. He had given them friendly relations with the Indians. He had given them plenty of fish and game and land for crops. They had an excellent crop, a harvest that summer. And then there, of course, was the fact that they were all still alive. God had spared them. And so he suggested that instead of appointing a day of fasting, that the colony instead appoint a day of thanksgiving, a day of celebrating all that God had done for them. And his convincing argument won the day. And that was the first Thanksgiving. And you know the rest of the story. It was a great celebration. Of course, they prayed for the upcoming year. They prayed that God would protect them through the winter. But it wasn't a sorrowful fast. It was a celebration of God's goodness and God's grace to them. And it became a yearly tradition in America. And 150 years later, George Washington made it an official American holiday. A uniquely American holiday where we stop and thank God. We don't thank goodness. We stop and thank God for his hand on our own lives and in our nation, even in 2020. So we still celebrate it. It's a time of fun, family, food, lots of food, and football. We add that in there. And it's a time for us to stop what we're doing and count our blessings rather than the troubles of the year. Jesus said each day has enough trouble of its own, right? And so this isn't that day where we stop and look back at all the things we've gone through, all the troubles we've seen. We stop and thank God for what he's done for us. And I still remember my grandfather praying that prayer before the meal. And then it was my dad praying that prayer before the meal. Now it's me before the meal. It's a matter of perspective. The colony said, we got to pray. We're in trouble. Our hearts are troubled. The farmer said, we need to stop and thank God. It's a matter of perspective. And I want you to see that in John chapter 14. This is another meal that we share as Christians where we stop what we're doing and show our thankfulness to God. We call it sometimes the Lord's Supper. Sometimes we call it communion. But that's what took place in John chapter 14. That's what we're going to share together as we go forward. By the way, did everybody get one of these cups and things when you came in? Okay, if you didn't, would you raise your hand and we'll look around? There's a couple over here. Keep them up. They'll bring them to you. Thanks, y'all. Okay, so sometimes we call this John chapter 14 the Last Supper. Jesus is sharing this Last Supper with his disciples. It's a study in having the right perspective. Because when Jesus first instituted the Lord's Supper with the disciples here in the upper room, they're in anguish. Okay, this is not a real happy meal. Jesus had happy meal, not like happy meal, but Jesus just told them that one of their numbers would betray him. He's just told Peter, who said, Jesus, you're crazy. He said, you're going to deny me three times. And then he said, I am leaving you. He's been with them 3 years, every day for 3 years. He says, I'm leaving you, and where I'm going, you can't come. And the disciples, he's told them already that he's going to be killed, crucified, or murdered. And they never had believed it, but now they're beginning to believe it. And the scriptures tell us that their hearts were troubled. They were beginning to realize what was going on. There was so much for them to be sad and anxious about. And Jesus then changed their perspective. I want you to see that in verse 1. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Their hearts were troubled. All of these things were happening. Everything was falling apart. And Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If not, I would have told you. I am going away to prepare a place for you, and if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may also be. You know the way to where I am going. Jesus changed their perspective. It was a time of great sorrow. It was a time of great fear for the disciples. And he changed their perspective from having troubled hearts to one of thanksgiving. It was just like that old farmer centuries later. That old farmer said, let's count our blessings instead of our troubles. Let's count our joys rather than our sorrows. And Jesus told his disciples the same thing. He says, don't look at this as the Last Supper. Look at this as the inaugural supper of the kingdom of God. This is the first of many. I'm going away for a while, but I'm coming back. And we will share many of these meals together in my Father's house. There are many rooms. I'm going to prepare yours for you. I will come back and take you to be with me. It's a foreshadowing of the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's all in how you look at it. It's all a matter of perspective. I want to share with you a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is teaching the Corinthian church on the Lord's Supper, and the reason why is because they're having some issues with it. He's correcting them a little bit, and he shows us through this that there are three different perspectives that we want to grasp when we take the Lord's Supper together. And we're going to do that in a minute. I hope online you'll join us, that you've made preparations in your own home to join us. But you'll notice that if your Bible is set up this way, there's some red letters in this passage. So this is actually one of the only places in Paul's letters, where you see red letters, he's quoting Jesus directly. God, Jesus told Paul this. And so this is what he says in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Okay, so I'm suggesting to you there's three different perspectives that we need to see when we take the Lord's Supper together. First of all, Jesus calls us to look back and give thanks. Look back and give thanks. When we partake of the Lord's Supper very often, if we're not careful, we remove it from its context. For us, we come in, maybe we're in church together, and it's just a cup with juice and a cracker. And we don't think of the backstory. We don't think of the context behind it. But Paul wants us to understand the context behind it. He says, on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took the bread and broke it and passed it out. So this was the story of the Lord's Supper, his betrayal and his death. The body and the blood have no significance except for the fact that the body was broken on that cross and the blood was spilled there. Otherwise, we're just having grape juice and crackers. And so we're to remember the context of what we're talking about. Jesus is very clear. When we take the Lord's Supper, we are remembering him. We're not remembering him as a great prophet. We're not remembering him as a great teacher. We're not remembering him as a wonderful guy, which all of those things were true. We're remembering him as the suffering servant, as the one who died on the cross, our Savior, as the one who took upon his back our betrayal, our sin, and took our punishment for us. So that's what we're remembering. That's why we're looking back and thanking God for the crucifixion and resurrection. And so secondly, Paul wants us to look around and give thanks. Notice in verse 26, it begins with the word "for as often as you do this," or in some versions it says "whenever you do this." And the implication, of course, is that the church's participation in the Lord's Supper is not just a one and done, okay? We come to the Lord in baptism, we're baptized once, one and done. We come to the Lord in communion, and we share it often. Whenever we do it, this is how we do it. As often as we do it, this is how we do it. It is something we do on a regular basis, or a fairly regular basis. And the reason is because we are the body of Christ. You share the bread that I share. You share the cup that I share. What he did for me on that cross, he did for you on that cross. And so we are unified in the fact that we are broken people that need a loving, grace-filled Savior in our lives. And that's why we're here. We're here not because we're better than the world. We're here because we know we've recognized our need. And so we come to the Lord, and we come to the Lord together, not individuals. I mean, we do as individuals, but we come together to unite as the family. And it's the same way with Thanksgiving, right? It's all about food, family, and fun. And that's what this is about. When we have communion, food, family, fun, and football. We'll do football later this afternoon when we get home from church. But the Lord's Supper is a time for us to look around and give thanks. And I want you to do that. I want you to look around and see all of these people that are in here. So when you put an offering in the offering box, and those little children that were up here have the supplies that they need to learn about Jesus. when we have a wonderful building that we can turn into Santa's workshop and create 500 boxes that are going to go around the world in missions. When you see this person that you know is on your prayer list and you've been praying for them for months, this is what it's all about. It's a family. And we're together in unity. And so when we take the Lord's Supper together, it pulls us together. It reminds us that we have a common history and a common need in Jesus. It reminds us that we have a common future in Him. He's coming back for all of us. He's prepared a place for all of us. And He's promised to come get us when it's our time. And so it's a chance for us to look around and give thanks for what God has done in us as a body. And then thirdly, I think Paul would show us that it's a time for us to look forward and give thanks. When he talks in verse 26, he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." He's coming. And so until He does, we're going to continue to proclaim the truth of the cross. That we need a Savior. And that He has come. And that His name is Jesus. And He's paid for our sins and washed us of our sins. And so we proclaim His death until that He comes. And I think maybe the most important word in that sentence is that little three-letter word at the beginning of verse 26, F-O-R, for. For as often as you eat this bread. So He's showing us now the reason why we're partaking in this new covenant meal, the bread and the blood, or, you know, the juice, the bread and the juice. Why are we doing that? He says we are proclaiming. It's a proclamation to the world that Jesus has died and resurrected, and we will continue to do it until He comes again. And so it's a call for us to look forward and to give thanks. So as we share in the Lord's Supper, we look forward, of course, to Jesus' return. He says, trust in Me, I'm coming back. I wouldn't have told you I was coming if it wasn't true. And so He says, trust in Me. And so we look forward to His return and to that time that He takes us into our new home in heaven. And at that time, we will join Him at the table, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we'll all be together again. And so this meal we're sharing is a precursor to that. Just a hint, just a tiny little hint, but we will do it until He comes, until we take that all together. And it reminds us that no matter what 2020 brings or whatever 2021 brings, that our hearts need not be troubled. You want to read that again? Let your hearts not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many rooms. If not, I would have told you. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to Myself, so that where I am, you may also be. You know the way to where I'm going. You know it. You know the way through 2021. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. He has a plan for each one of us. And so while we take the Lord's communion, we are looking forward. We're looking into the future, trusting God, not only to take care of us, but to take care of us, to take care of His body, to take care of His church, and realizing that one day we'll all be at that table together. Now, it also reminds you, since we're looking into the future, that He's given us a mission. And to a degree, the people that will be seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb will be those people that we've reached, the church has reached, with the love of Jesus. There is a world out there that doesn't know this new covenant that we share, and they need to know it. It's part of our ministry of reconciliation. We plead with them, remember, be reconciled to God. Come to Him. Worship Him. Let Him wash you of your sins. And so we have a mission. We have a ministry that God has given us. And so one thing is certain as we head into the future, God's in control. We can look forward and we can give thanks. And so what we're going to do right now is we're going to share this meal together. And I say meal in quotation marks because it's like a little tiny piece of gluten-free bread. So let me just digress for a minute. So this pandemic has been very interesting in many ways. We as a church, or even Americans in general, have had to figure out new ways to do things and pivot, right? And so this is shut down. We can figure a workaround, and we can do that. And I was interested this week to read that in Poland, of all places, churches are allowed to be open, but gyms are closed. And so one gym changed itself to the Church of the Healthy Body. That's pretty clever. And then early on, when Brazil was really hit hard and they shut down, churches weren't allowed to be open. They were closed. But bars were allowed to be open. And so one church in Brazil, I can't remember where it was, what city it was in, they started serving drinks. I could give you a little tiny glass of wine when you walked in. And so they were now a bar and allowed to be open. So anyway, what my point is, look at this. Isn't this creative? So now nobody has to touch it with COVID hands or anything like that. And you've got the juice on one side and the bread on the other. And, of course, you can figure it out. It peels back. And so we're going to take this together this morning. And as we do, I'm going to ask you, take a moment to stop and be thankful. To look back, remember the context of this meal, remember this cross behind me and what it represents, and why this meal is significant. That this is the blood, in a sense, of the Lord Jesus and his broken body. And so that was a price that was paid for our salvation. And then secondly, I want you to look around. And I want you to take a minute and appreciate the fact that that we're here together. Some of us are together virtually, but we're here together. And the enemy wanted to stop all of that, but he hasn't succeeded. In fact, you know, the scripture is what he intended for our harm, God intended for our good. New Life Church has grown through this. It's amazing. And in the meantime, I appreciate now more than ever the ability to come together in person. I took it for granted. Sunday's here. Sunday's here. And then when I couldn't be with you on Sunday, it was heart-wrenching to me. My heart was troubled. But God has done a wonderful thing. And now I think maybe we appreciate better the body of Christ. And that's a beautiful thing that God's done in us. And then I want you to look forward. I want you to look forward to God's future plans, not only for you and for your family, but for us here as a church with a ministry reaching out to the world. And then, of course, to the fact that he's coming back for us. We proclaim his death until he comes. And he's coming. Okay, so let's read this passage again. And you can go ahead and open the bread. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take a moment, give him thanks. And in the same way, He also took the cup, peeled back the lid. No, it didn't say that. In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord Jesus, we proclaim together in unison as a body of Christ that you are King of kings and Lord of lords. You have saved us from our sin. You've sacrificed yourself for us, so that we might be together in the days to come. And so, Lord, we change our perspective today from woe is me in 2020 to the perspective of grateful recipients of life, of grateful members of the body of Christ. Thankful that we are in this together, that even though we've had to go through some challenging times, we didn't have to do it alone. And thankful, Lord, that as Pastor Jeff reminded us earlier, you are on your throne. You have not been dethroned, nor will you be. And so we can go forward the rest of this year, next year, and the years to come, fully trusting that your hand, your good, gracious hand, will guard us, will keep us, and lead us. And so, Lord, we share this meal today. Today is a meal of thanksgiving. And I pray, Lord, Thursday would be a wonderful spiritual experience for us as we stop and we think about all that you've given us. And Lord, change our perspective as needed. Show us your hand of goodness, we pray. And we will be a grateful people. I thank you, Lord, for this nation. I thank you for our godly foundation. And we're praying, Lord, that you return it to that. And we'll all pray together in unity Thursday for that same thing. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we're going to move some Christmas boxes, I think. And if you can stick around and help, we'll just kind of load them out front and then stage them there, right? And then it'll be loaded later. So we also have prayer ministers, if you need prayer, and we can pray for you, join us in prayer. If you're online, there's a phone number that you can call. It is, I can't read it, I don't have my glasses, 222-2627, and we would love to pray with you if we can do that. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Have a great week. Happy Thanksgiving.